My aim this evening is to lead us into the Lord's Supper, to prepare our hearts and minds for this time of remembrance and communion with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very special part of our life together as a local church, and I've been looking forward to this. It feels like I haven't participated in the Lord's Supper for a little while now. But to lead us into the supper, I'm going to bring a short sermon on a very familiar text, and if I end up talking for more than 25 minutes, I'll be very surprised. So it's not going to be very long. Please, if you would, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. I'm not worried about stealing Pastor Brendan's thunder. He's taking us through Philippians, but by the time he gets up to our text, you'll have all forgotten what I've said tonight, I think. Philippians chapter 4, I'd like to take our reading from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last time your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide us, speak to us over these next few moments. I pray that we would have a fresh appreciation for your Son, our Saviour, in whose name I pray. Amen. Our text for tonight is verse 13. And we had occasion to think very briefly about this verse in one of the talks we had at our men's retreat. I ran through a list of things related to this verse. That's all I did, ran through a list. And I want to flesh some of those things out more fully with all of you this evening. This verse contains Paul's confidence and Paul's experience in the Christian life. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Wouldn't we all love to be able to say that? To have this assurance. To know what this is like from consistent first-hand experience. Like me, if you grew up going to Sunday school, then this was probably one of the first 10 or 15 verses that you learned. And it probably remains one of your most treasured verses. Maybe you've got it on a nice little card on the wall at home. I remember as a child thinking about this verse, trying to understand what it meant and not really getting it. All things through Christ? How does that work? What does that even mean? Years later, I heard a preacher explain the all things part, and it's stuck with me ever since. He said, this means that you can do all the things you ought to do. It's not a reference to every single thing. It's not the idea that I want to do this particular thing and I can do it through Christ. It's not like a blank check that you can spend on whatever you want. It's all the things that are right for me to do, that God wants me to do. I can do them through Christ. And what are those things? Well, they're in here, in God's Word. Here we have God's commands and God's wisdom for making decisions, and we can do all that He says. We can live wisely and we can live well through Christ. You see, what this verse is teaching us is that God's provision to do His will comes to us through Christ. The Greek word translated strengthen means to empower. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, it's translated enabled. Literally, it means to infuse strength into. Through Christ, Paul was enabled, empowered, strengthened to do all that God wanted him to do. One author puts it this way: Paul has such strength so long as Jesus keeps on putting power into him. Paul has such strength so long as Jesus keeps on putting power into him. And the same is true for us. We can do all that God wants us to. We can obey His commandments. We can love others. We can use our gifts. We can persevere through thick and thin and not walk away from the faith as long as Jesus keeps on putting power into us. So the question is, how does He do that? How does God's provision to do His will come to us through Christ? Or perhaps we might put the question like this: what does God's provision through Christ look like? This evening I want to bring to your attention six ways God strengthens us through Christ. This is what God's provision looks like. There are six things I'm going to talk about, and the sixth has three parts. So here we go. First of all, God's provision looks like the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. What do we have through the blood of Christ? What comes to mind? In whom we have redemption through His blood. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Redeemed. Bought out of the slave market of sin. Delivered from bondage. Delivered from condemnation and death by the blood of Christ, which He shed upon the cross. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? Redemption. How good it is to confess, to know we have been redeemed. Another word that comes to mind is propitiation. A propitiation is that which appeases or satisfies. The blood of Christ is the propitiation for our sins. It satisfied God's wrath that was against us for breaking His law, for offending His holy character. The blood of Christ is on the mercy seat in heaven, and it is propitious for us. It also cleanses us, doesn't it? 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Literally, it is cleansing us from all sin. It's continually cleansing us, continuing to avail for us. We come to our Heavenly Father, burdened by guilt. We come unclean and impure. We know he's displeased. We confess our sin, and the blood of Jesus washes that guilt and impurity away. We are cleansed. We are clean. The guilt is gone. The joy returns. And we continue to live for him. What does God's provision look like? It looks like the blood of Christ. And then secondly, we see in the scripture that we have received the righteousness of Christ. We could never keep God's law. We could never meet God's standard. For all have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. We stand guilty and condemned before the judge, before the creator of heaven and earth. And in and of ourselves we are without hope, but God gives us righteousness as a gift. You see, Jesus did keep the law. Jesus did meet God's standard, and God imputes Jesus' righteousness to us. He puts it to our account, and he does so when we believe in Jesus as our Saviour. It's an amazing thing, this gift of righteousness. God, through Christ, providing for us to be right with him forever. God doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, that is God the Father, made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What an incredible exchange. Our sin is put to Christ's account. He suffers for it on the cross, and his righteousness is put to our account. We receive it as a gift. And this is why we have assurance of acceptance with God. This is why we have assurance of heaven. It's not about us and our good deeds. We're not hoping that they'll measure up. They never could. No, it's because of Christ. His good deeds did measure up, and what he achieved has been put to our account if we have trusted in him. He is the reason we are accepted with God, and he is the only reason. He is the reason why we know we will be with God in heaven one day. This is why we can sleep at night. We know we've done all manner of bad things throughout the day. We've failed. We've had terrible thoughts. We've been unkind and proud and bitter and much more beside. But we can sleep. Our consciences can have rest because we have Christ and his righteousness. The blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. God's provision also looks like the life of Christ. Colossians chapter 3 verse 14. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In Christ and through Christ, we have new life. We have his life, life in relationship with God. This life is what enables us to overcome sin, to live as we ought to live as we want to. This is what Paul talks about in verse after verse in the book of Colossians, which we've had the joy of studying in our midweek meeting. Christians are those who've been united with Christ forever and made to share in his death, burial, and resurrection. When he walked out of the tomb, so did we. We have this extraordinary thing the Bible calls everlasting life. We're made partakers of the divine nature, the Apostle Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. To live as a Christian is to live out this new life, to experience it, to put it on display, to be changed into the image of the one whose life it is. So we have the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, the life of Christ. Fourthly, God's provision comes to us as the Spirit of Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 9, the Apostle Paul refers to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, as the Spirit of Christ. And he says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Holy Spirit within you, you don't belong to Christ, you are not a Christian, you're still dead in trespasses and sins. Every person who repents of their sin and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ receives the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was in Jesus, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. God Himself comes and lives within. And this is another remarkable thing to ponder. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, lives within you and me. When we think of the Spirit of Christ, several words come to mind, and there is a sermon in each one. Each of these words means something to us. Adoption. Fellowship. Illumination. Power. Fruit. All of these are ours by the Spirit of Christ. They are accomplished as He works in us, and we are richly blessed. This is God's provision for us through Christ. There is another word that is associated with the Spirit of Christ, and it reveals the breadth of God's provision. It's the word intercession. The Spirit that was in Christ, that's now in every person who belongs to Christ, intercedes for us. He prays to the Father for us. He takes our feeble, ignorant, and sometimes selfish prayers, makes them acceptable, and offers them to the Father. Listen to these words penned by the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There is prayer going on within the Holy Trinity. The Spirit of Christ who lives within us is praying for us, presenting our needs before the Father. The blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, the life of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, all of these are God's provision, God's means of strengthening us so that we can do all things. But that's not all. There is the Word of Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What's he talking about? What is the Word of Christ? It's the Gospel. It's the things that Jesus said. Actually, it's the whole book that the Spirit of Christ inspired. This is the Word of Christ. And most of you know, it is sufficient. It is enough. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, complete, mature, thoroughly furnished, completely equipped unto all good works. We are enabled to do every good work that God calls us to do by this word, the word of Christ. And then finally, there is the body of Christ. The blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, the life of Christ, the spirit of Christ, the word of Christ, and the body of Christ. The church. This living institution that all Christians are part of, that we together make up. Now, if you remember, I said that this last point had three parts. God's provision to us through the body of Christ looks like three things. First of all, it looks like the people sitting next to you. In the body of Christ are found the people of Christ. And they are there for you. And you're supposed to be there for them. The Spirit of Christ has given them gifts that they are to use to minister to you, to encourage you, to build you up. And if you're a Christian, you've been given a gift that you're supposed to use to build them up. There is mutual love and support among the people of Christ. This is how God strengthens us so that we can do all that we ought to do. There are the people of Christ within the body, and then secondly, there are the ministers of Christ, elders and pastors, men who God has called and gifted to lead and shepherd. We are God's provision to help you. When you read Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Part of that strengthening, part of that enabling through Christ is the ministry performed by elders. He is the chief shepherd. We are the under shepherds. We're working for him. That's why you should let yourself be shepherded. I don't know if that's a word. Jesus puts his power in his people through his ministers. The people of Christ, the ministers of Christ, and then thirdly and finally within the body, we have what we're coming to this evening. The table of Christ. The table instituted by Christ. It's called the Lord's table in Scripture, the Lord's Supper. The table set before us tonight is God's provision through Christ. Not that we receive any grace by the act of eating and drinking. The bread is just bread. The grape juice in the cup is just grape juice. That's all it is. This table is very simple, and yet it is immensely beautiful and profound. You see, what this is a memorial. These are tangible signs that represent Jesus. We look at them. We look at them. We're supposed to look at them. We taste them, and they cause us to remember and reflect upon what Jesus accomplished for us. His body was broken for us, just like this bread is broken. His blood was shed for us. It ran red like the juice in the cup. But it's not just a memorial where we think about some historical event and its significance. It's a memorial in which we have fellowship. We have communion with each other and with the one who is represented. Christ is not present in a physical way in the bread and in the wine, but he is still present, brothers and sisters. Christ dwells with his people. And as we eat and drink, we think about him, we pray to him, and he ministers to us. He assures us of sins forgiven. As we drink down that cup, we can think, yes, my sins are forgiven because of Jesus' blood. He blesses us with the hope of an eternity in heaven with him. He fills us with the joy of new life. He draws us together as those he loves, has redeemed. My friends, God has given us enough, hasn't he? He's given us Christ. and through his blood, his righteousness, his life, his spirit, his word, and his body, we really can do all the things we ought to do. Praise God. Amen.